TV. Either a flock of poultry has delivered its ova mid-flight upon our car, or I've become the victim of a vandalization.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we watch a different episode of the series and then we talk about it. We're doing the whole thing in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
Good. Ready to talk about episode 9.
Episode 9. Wait, do we have anything to say beforehand?
I don't know. My chair's rather squeaky. That's all I got.
Well, you know, I know we talk about our studio.
Our classy folding chairs, you know.
And we talk about our studio a lot.
Make noise.
And we have folding chairs. We have four of them in the house. And I had to get them out for company. And what I try and do all the time is put the two...
What, rotate them? Or the...
no.
Make sure that we get the two classiest ones back.
The two least squeaky ones make their way back into our closet, but I guess I didn't do a good job of that this time.
It's all good. You know, you never know what kind of noises you're going to get with this show. Sometimes it's dogs barking. Mm-hmm. It might be kids arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Might be chair squeaking.
No more hum in the background, we don't think. We haven't heard anything.
Oh, I'm sure people are just like, oh, I'll just tolerate it. Or they've stopped listening, so they're not complaining about it. No,
right.
I shouldn't say complaining. People didn't complain, but they were very kind about letting us know. So
exactly.
Yeah, complain is not the right word.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe people have just given up.
On what? Why people have given up with listening to chairs squeaking? I'm confused. I don't even know where we are anymore.
Buzzing.
Oh, there's more buzzing. Brand new microphone.
Oh.
Wait, I forgot. Was that what solved it? I don't remember. It doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know.
Anyway, everybody, thank you for listening. I really feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why. Right?
We've been doing this for a really long time.
A really long
time. So it's weird that you feel like you don't know what you're doing.
I have to say, early this month, 3 years.
Wow.
Carla, 3 years.
I know.
We've been doing this.
I can't wait till we can part ways when this is over.
You and me?
Yeah.
You mean? Okay. Our Schitt's Creek podcast ends in divorce?
I just don't have to sit in the closet every other week. I could just come in here to like... pick out a shirt and then leave.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't like the fact that you have to maneuver around a table, a card table
that's kind of
always set up?
Right, yeah, a card table. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know
Very
what?
Fancy.
If you want, I could just leave it here and you could just always have those memories.
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking earlier. You have three notebooks.
Oh, yeah.
Full of notes. Are you going to hold on to those? Beyond the podcast.
Should we have like a bonfire, like a burning celebration at the
end?
We could.
Maybe we could raffle them off to listeners. Maybe listeners
I don't
could
think
chime
they're
in.
Want them.
What are you talking about? All those great notes that we take.
Oh, that are not really all that great sometimes.
Well, you know what? Between the two of us, we can keep track of a 22-minute episode.
Barely.
Yeah. Yes. So let's barely keep track of this episode. You're right. It's episode 9 of season 6. It's Rebound. The original air date was March 3rd of 2020.
Every time we say a date, I'm like, it's a little bit closer to COVID.
I think it's funny. March 3rd. COVID was already here.
Oh, totally.
People just didn't know that COVID was here.
Well, no. It was here and it was starting to get a lot of buzz.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Like our microphone.
Good one.
But yeah.
So this episode is directed by Jordan Canning. I can't remember how I say her name episode to episode, but it's one of those two.
Okay.
She has two more episodes that she will direct in this series. Now, it is time to say goodbye to our friend Michael Short.
Oh, goodbye,
brother
Michael Short.
Of Martin Short.
Oh.
So basically, he has written he's written two episodes every season. Mm-hmm. So 12 episodes in all. And when we do kind of put these people to bed, let's say, mm-hmm. I do like to look back and I like to see, oh, what episodes were these people responsible for?
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's
not a fan?
I'm not. Well, I am not going to say that because he's written 12 episodes. Mm-hmm. First of all, this one, haven't talked about it yet. We don't know where it is on our list.
Oh, okay.
He has the distinction of being the writer behind Little Sister and Roadkill.
Oh.
Nothing that he's written cracked our top 10 or honestly is even close.
Okay. He's not the shining star that his brother is?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Did you see, you were talking to me about how Ray was in that Beauty and the Beast thing?
Yes.
I think Martin Short's in that too.
Oh.
I saw a picture. Yeah, I saw a picture on Instagram of he and Martin Short hanging out. And it's not like Martin Short is behind the camera. He was dressed like, I don't know, a French aristocrat or something like that. Okay. So that's it. Yeah. So Bon Voyage, Michael Short.
Mm.
We'll see about this episode, let's say.
Oh,
and this episode also, I'd never seen it.
What?
I thought that was done. I thought that was all behind us. These hidden secret episodes. None of this was familiar to me whatsoever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
So let's get into it.
Let's.
Motel.
Yep.
Night.
Yes.
So this is just me reading my notes and you confirming that what I wrote down is correct.
Keep going.
Okay. All right. David, concerned.
Yes.
Alexis, rebounding.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
wow, we really take notes differently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
I have D and MJ because I abbreviate names constantly.
Oh, okay.
I
thought maybe Michael Jordan was in the background and I missed it.
Or Michael Jackson.
Or Michael Jackson.
There's a lot of people.
Magic.
No, I have A, broke up with Ted less than week ago. A, date Artie, steakhouse, Elmdale, put self out there. Like, that's what my notes sound like.
I am not. Okay. No, that's great. I do.
This is why... You know, sometimes we really don't know what's going on.
No, that's fine. I always feel like for some reason I'm typing too much. And I think it is maybe because I just try and put everything in complete sentences, which is unnecessary.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm glad I'm learning about this when we only have like 4 episodes left.
Okay, well, I don't know what to tell you.
So, yeah, so basically David is...
having a conversation with Moira and Johnny.
Yeah.
He's concerned about Alexis.
Concerned about Alexis that she is...
on the rebound.
Yeah, like rushing into things too much. We know that it's been less than a week.
Yes.
Since she and Ted broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already moving and shaking. And I guess her business has been put on the back burner so that she can sort of put herself out there.
Yeah.
So she comes in.
Yeah. Looking very old Alexis-y.
Oh, wait, what?
Not old in age, but like...
Oh.
Like her old self a little bit. Like...
Oh.
Fancy, like glittery kind of dress. Like, I feel like we haven't seen her in something quite so glitzy. And like, she was starting to dress. Or maybe her outfit seemed a little more mature. But I feel like this is back to like... the club Alexis, that, you know, I don't know. Maybe not.
No. I didn't.
You know, she's in like some gold little short glittery number. Like, like she's out to like pick up men. But think about the dress that she wore when she and Ted were together in the last episode.
Sure.
It was like beautiful, classic, long, pink, like total opposite.
No, that makes sense.
So I feel like she's, I don't want to say reverted, because I don't think she's reverted, but I feel like she's like, all right, I got to get a guy.
Right,
and this is my, like, get a guy
Okay.
Attire.
No, it's funny you should say. I didn't really pick up on that.
Oh, I thought because I liked her dress. I mean, she looked great in it, but it was like crazy short and like very, yeah. Like I just thought different than what we've seen her in as of late.
Okay.
But no, I don't know. Maybe it's just because she had a night out in at the steakhouse in Elmdale, and you know, and that was what she. I'm just envisioning that's kind of like going to Outback, so. Or, like, Longhorn or something. So she needed her, like, you know, glittery, sequiny best for that event.
The newest and best steakhouse in Elmdale is pretty much, like, Outback.
I don't know. Maybe. It's Elmdale.
I
don't think it's, like...
From this episode, and we've talked about Elmdale before, Elmdale appears to be the movinest, shakenest, happenest placed. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Yeah.
They have jazz festivals.
That was at Elm Lake, which I guess is just a lake in Elmdale. Wait, okay. But it's at Elm Lake. That's where they were going. But anyway. Yeah.
Anyway.
So she came in very glitzy, glamour, Alexis. Yes. And I felt like that was like her, more of like something she would have worn before.
I like that. No, I like that you picked up on that. I really didn't.
I don't, it and maybe I'm sense. Not interpreting it that way, but. You
could be right, and it's interesting because I really noticed her phone in this episode with the little dangly thing.
Yeah, she's had that little dangly thing, I think, the whole way through.
Okay, that's fine. I just feel like I haven't really seen her on her phone a whole lot, but she is doing a lot of social media and stuff, which seems strange that I hadn't noticed that little thing for the longest time. Yeah. But I guess maybe phones haven't been as prominent for a while in this show.
Yep.
But yeah, so she was out with... Artie?
Yes.
Steakhouse in Elmdale, as you said.
Yep.
And when she decides to go, she's like, I have to go get ready for bed. Thank you for being concerned about me, family, whatever.
Yeah.
Artie shows up at the door.
I just wrote, old man.
You with context clues were like, old she man was out with Artie, but it,
Lexi.
Old man shows
Well, no,
up.
I told that she dated Artie. I have that note.
Yes.
But, I just wrote old man looking, showed up at the door looking for Lexi,
so
which I kind of love that she's going by Lexi.
Let's
or
talk
that he's
about,
making her go by Lexi.
Let's talk about Artie Camden. Mm-hmm. Is his name.
Yeah.
Now, I wrote, and I really feel like, I should have been doing this from the beginning, which is getting the phonetical pronunciation of people's words.
I don't think phonetical is a word, but phonetical? Keep going.
No, it's just phonetic.
Yeah.
Okay. So he is played by someone named Henry, but not really. I think it's Henri.
Oh, okay.
Cherney.
Okay.
And I don't, did you... recognize him or
he no? he looked kind of familiar to me a little bit. Why?
What? He's like a big time actor.
Oh.
Like he's in a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like you haven't seen Clear and Present Danger.
Nope.
You haven't seen Mission Impossible.
Nope.
You haven't seen The Ice Storm.
Nope.
You haven't seen Ready or Not.
No.
These are big movies that he is in and plays pretty prominent
then
roles.
Then it's weird that he would even look familiar to me.
Well,
I've never seen anything that he's in.
I went through his IMDb. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that you probably saw him in. But those are the biggies there. I mean, he's been in shows like Monk and Flashpoint and Friday the 13th, the series. And, of course, Ghost Whisperer, why not? But, you know, I instantly recognized him from some of these other movies. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting because not that they haven't had people in here before that have done stuff and done some pretty significant work. I don't want to get too far ahead to the next episode, but certainly we're going to have another real
big
heavy
name.
Hitter, which is really funny because the thing that this show doesn't seem to do, which I feel like a lot of times with really popular shows, be they, you know, comedies or hour-long dramas, is I always feel like people that are in the industry, because you'll hear this from actors saying, I want to be on this show. Like I'm really surprised that hasn't happened, doesn't happen, or maybe it does and they don't do it because they don't want people to be pulled out of this particular, you know,
yeah,
world that they've built.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's certainly been around. He dated Dana Delaney for a long time. That's all. That's about it.
Great.
So yeah, so he shows up in a scarf.
I didn't pay that much attention to what he was wearing.
Wait, did you see what he's wearing in the cafe?
I didn't pay much attention to what he was wearing.
His look, it is in the cafe, and we'll get there. Mm-hmm. It's a scarf and a vest. Mm. He's got all the bracelets in the world on. Mm. He's got rings on almost every finger. There's a lot going on with this guy.
Yeah, no, I didn't really notice.
Yeah, it really is the cliche old man pretending to be young and hip and cool, I think, is what they're going for here.
Okay.
But yeah, he shows up with Lexi's purse.
Yes.
I think it's important that we just call her Lexi for the entire episode.
Mm. Yeah.
And I love the fact that David answers the door and he says, "You can just call me Davey."
Well, right. He's like, "I'm David, Lexi's brother, but you can just call me Davey." Right. Yeah.
I just think it's so funny. Like the Artie, Lexi, mm-hmm. Davey, Johnny doesn't have to do anything but just say Johnny.
Yeah.
So he gives her back the purse, or gives the purse to David to give to his sister.
Yep.
And I love how this scene ends with David turning around saying, "Our Lexi's making some wonderful choices."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think he says he'll just like send her a text.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is when we get our title card. Mm-hmm. And now we are into the episode, because there's stuff other than Lexi's love life that we have to get into this episode.
Yes.
And it starts with Patrick and David, I guess, having a...
next day, enjoying breakfast, brunchy something.
I'm going to say breakfast. Like, I assume the store hasn't opened yet.
Yeah.
So they're probably just having their breakfast before they open the store.
Yeah. Because then later on, same day, Alexis and Artie are there.
Right.
Enjoying their brunch, I would guess, or breakfast.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're there, and David and Patrick are sitting there, and they're kind of having a conversation about the florist. And, you know, Patrick's trying to go over details and asking David, like, "Did you call the florist? Did you get information? Do you know how much the flowers are going to cost?" And David's done none of that. You know, so he's kind of hoping he'll call and take care of that and get a quote. And
so, so do you think they really split the wedding prep in half? And it's like, Patrick's, "I'll handle the photographer, you do the flowers," something like that. Do you feel like it's...
I don't know that... Well, they ended up with Ray as a photographer. Oh, so I don't know that anybody really picked that. I think that was by default.
Okay. All right. So he's just got the connection to Ray.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I'm sure they're just trying to check things off the list. Patrick has to obviously be like the one to kind of keep the planning moving. Because, well, David, that was...
It just seems so strange.
David's that... like a planner, because he wants everything, of course, to be fancy and important, but yet he's not making the phone calls or like taking any of the steps to do it.
That's very surprising to me,
because
he micromanages so much, and
right.
he would be so into the floral arrangements and everything like that. But I just find it funny that I guess this is something he apparently doesn't care about, or just at this point doesn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Because this wedding day is fast approaching, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But they have another issue, and this is very confusing to me.
Why?
Well, because I mentioned earlier in this podcast, wouldn't it be great if there was an episode where they have somebody work for them? And you were like, "Oh, just wait." And that makes me...
Oh, that's why it didn't make sense,
because
you've never seen this?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And are they looking for something? Like, I'm really confused about how all of this even got started. Like, why? I guess it's summer, so Jocelyn's looking for extra work. Or she took a sabbatical or something like that to stay home with the baby, but she's looking for extra work. Like, and are they really looking for someone to help them in the store? Or are they just doing a favor for Jocelyn. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's not explained, but I just didn't know how you thought about any of this.
I don't know. I guess I didn't really think about, like, the reasoning why. Okay. I figure they just, maybe she and Patrick were just talking, and she was like, oh, I'd love to pick up some extra work. And she does mention, like, she needs extra money. She's right. Like, I'm just a mother with a baby looking for extra money because I've invested everything we have right. into your dad's motel, you know, like, exactly. into the motel business and everything. So, I don't know. I guess I just assumed maybe she and Patrick were just chatting. Okay. Like, you know, at another time. And yeah. he was like, oh, well, you know, probably felt like sympathetic for her or to right. her, and then said, well, maybe we could use some help at the store. To okay. which then no, she
that,
was
that
kind of...
That kind of makes sense. I also love how at every turn, Patrick's like, and I guess it's because David's not calling the florist or anything. He's like, hey, guess what? Jocelyn, she's your problem. Like, just deal with her.
Right.
Because she's sitting at the counter... At the cafe.
Oh, yeah.
And keeps, like, making eyes
yeah,
at them.
Yeah, like, and, smiling right. and waving. And she's basically waiting for Patrick to have this conversation with David.
Yes.
To kind of see if she can, you know, be brought on as an additional employee,
right.
I guess.
So she finally comes over and says, like, well, you know, you guys are really looking at me. It made me feel like you wanted me to come over. And she mentions that... there is an ad, like, she's been looking through the want ads, mm-hmm. and she could be a waitress at Bazonga's.
Right, that Gentleman's Club.
Right, that
yeah.
appears to be her only other
right.
alternative yeah. mean of income if she isn't working for these guys.
Right.
I love the fact, and this was 100% had to be an intentional joke by the people who made this episode.
Mm-hmm.
She is wearing a shirt that does not have kittens on it.
Right.
It's not a crazy sweater or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's like a regular
yeah.
shirt. It's
yeah.
got primary
it
colors,
yeah.
like drips
like not,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. But just the fact that she's like, I got to go change for this job. And
right.
puts on that owl shirt. Where
no,
it's
a kitty cat.
Oh, no, it's an owl. It's a white owl with
it was
flowers
a
around it.
White kitty cat.
Oh, I thought it was an owl.
I thought it was a kitty cat.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I wrote down kitty cat sweatshirt. Maybe it's just because I'm just always assuming
no,
that's what
fine.
She's wearing.
No,
I don't have
I
my
just,
phone or I would look up a screenshot of
I
it.
I absolutely love the fact that she goes to get changed into something. Because I really took note.
She said, like, I need to change it to something almost, like, more casual.
Yes. Which
yeah.
it seems strange.
Yeah.
Like, what, you're getting dressed up to go to breakfast.
Right.
But you need to downgrade that look to then go to work.
Yeah.
At the apothecary.
I don't know. An owl. That doesn't... I don't know.
Okay. You know what?
Real-time Googling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really thought it was a white, like, Persian-looking kitty.
I can't wait.
She always wears kitties. It would be weird if she was in an owl. Oh, wait. We're checking.
So confused. Hold on. There's no good pictures of this.
No.
I think.
I don't know. Wow.
Why can't I see this? Why can't I? It's an owl. Look at
what?
This.
Oh my gosh, it is.
It's a white owl with
wow.
yellow flowers around
it. I thought it was a white kitty cat. All right, I'm wrong.
I love the picture, too.
Yeah.
With that crazy wig she's wearing
and
the
her
bell.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So, anyway, so I know we're getting ahead of ourselves with this whole sweatshirt thing that we're talking about. But they decide, or I think that David sort of feels pressured into this.
Oh, yeah. Like, at first when she comes over, he's like, oh, we're still assessing this.
Right, yes.
You know, but then, yeah, he kind of feels like he needs to, when she starts laying on, like, I'm a mom, I need extra money.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. David even says something like,
options.
Well, Bazonga sounds okay. Like,
yeah.
That sounds totally fine.
Right, yeah.
So he decides, we will give you a trial run, go home. Put on the tackiest sweatshirt, the second tackiest sweatshirt you have, because it's not a cat sweatshirt, and come in and we'll, you know, for a day.
Yeah, it's
try
a trial
this out.
Run.
Exactly.
Training session.
Yes.
Yes.
So the thing that I really like about this episode is it's a very Lexi and Johnny centric mm-hmm. episode. Like, yeah. it's really the two of them bonding. And the other thing that I find very funny about this episode is how long it takes for Moira to really have anything to do. Like, for a while, mm-hmm. again, watching this for the first time, I even started to think, oh, is Moira doing nothing but just hanging around through this episode? But we'll get into her story in a minute.
Yeah.
But Lexi's having a great time. She's sitting in the kids' room and is texting with Artie.
Yes. Yep. Laughing with Arthur.
Yeah. Johnny comes over and tries to just talk a little bit about mm-hmm. Artie and sort of what's the deal here.
That she shouldn't rush into anything. She mentions that they're going to go to the Elm Lake Jazz Festival. So yes. this is where that comes up. And he's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't rush into anything. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, this is just something fun and casual. Artie's such an old soul and I'm an old soul. And then Johnny's like, an old soul? Like, how old?
How old a soul would you say Artie is? Yeah. Oh, I love it when she says that Artie likes to scat along mm-hmm. with the jazz festival.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yep. But for his upcoming birthday, they're planning to go away for a weekend in wine country because his ex-wife owns a vineyard.
Yep.
And all of his kids and grandkids are going to be there.
Right. So she dumps. This scene ends really great. Like, I love the fact that she dumps this whole winery on him mm-hmm. and then is like, oh, is he trying to call me and stuff like that? Johnny backing out of this room seems so alarmed. Like, he seems very concerned about this whole thing. Yeah. And, you know, he has a right to be, even though she says to him, this is just casual. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But that's immediately followed up by the winery discussion anyway.
Yeah.
So. So now, let's go to the apothecary because Jocelyn
in her owl sweatshirt is there.
Changed into this for work. She feels like this is appropriate attire for Rose Apothecary.
Yep.
And she's really good at this.
Yeah, she's very good at making sales. Somebody comes in and they're looking at the body milk and she really talks about how great it is.
Exactly.
For, you know, a new mom being able to use it, and that she just sells that body milk right up to that lady.
So before we get into this, let's talk about the store customer, because she is credited as store customer.
Okay.
Not cool. She's played by Marion Carville.
Okay.
And she was in Friday the 13th, the series. She was in Queer as Folk, Warehouse 13, Murdoch Mysteries, Odd Squad, American Gods, and The Umbrella Academy. Hmm. Also, Murdoch Mysteries is a show that I believe is currently running. Like, I think mm-hmm. there are new episodes of this.
Mm-hmm.
That show started in 2010.
Oh, wow.
That's a really long time for any show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I really feel like with this episode, like, I always talk about and I joke about the fact that it never seems like anybody's in their store.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's the joke. I get it, is that Jocelyn's there and she's, I don't know, bringing in business or mm-hmm. selling stuff or whatever.
Well, she's well known in the community.
Yes,
you know.
It makes total sense. She
probably knows everybody who's walking in and can have a conversation with them.
100%.
You know? Plus, like, if she teaches, that again extends her, you know, knowledge of people that live in the area.
Like, both Patrick and David are outsiders. I feel like this only makes sense for mm-hmm. them to bring in someone who knows the community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also really funny because we're not into quite the Moira storyline yet. We'll get there. But this seems to be an episode that is very, like, about the town and about the people of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like at the end of this, I understand Jocelyn doesn't work there anymore, but maybe they should try and find someone who lives in the town uh-huh. to help them out, because they are doing gangbusters business today.
Yeah.
I love how she makes her first sale and yells, "Have a rosy day."
Oh, totally. Yeah.
To which David is like, "We're not
doing that. We decided we're not doing that." Yeah.
So after this wonderful display of salespersonship, let's say. Mm-hmm. We walk outside with Moira. Mm-hmm. Encounter Stevie. Mm-hmm. Stevie's actually just doing her job.
Yeah, she's just pushing the little cleaning cart by.
Yes. And Moira sees that her car has been egged.
Yeah. And she thinks, did birds fly overhead and lay eggs on her car, basically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Her first thought is that birds laid really large eggs, mm-hmm. like chicken-sized eggs that then smashed onto the car and ruined it. Stevie has to be the voice of reason, as usual, mm-hmm. and suggests washing the car, uh-huh. like cleaning the car. But
right,
I love
like
how,
I can give you a bucket, she says.
I love how Moira's like, you don't disturb a crime scene.
Right.
Like, this is really important mm-hmm. to her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't quite understand why this happened, what it has to do with her, this random act of vandalism, I mm-hmm. guess. And we will soon find out why.
Right.
But she seems very concerned at this point.
Yeah.
And a little bit confused.
Yeah. Yeah. So she decides she wants to go to council.
Right.
With a complaint, I guess.
She should go there. She works there.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
She is a member of town council.
Yeah.
Later on, we see town council. I cannot remember the last time we were in town council.
It's been a little while. Yeah. Yeah. But she says Stevie has to come with her as her star witness.
Right.
So Stevie gets roped into this going along. I have to say, I am oftentimes a fan of Moira's looks. I don't like this dress at all.
Oh, this dress is ridiculous looking.
I do love it.
I don't know what this is supposed to be. Like,
well, it's like one of those dresses that the cut is supposed to make you like, you know, it's supposed to be very slimming, but
But normally if that happens, the outsides are black.
Right, yeah.
It's not just this sparkly dress with little weird designs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I wasn't a fan of this look for her. And even with the wig, like the whole look today, I wasn't digging.
I do think the night before, when we opened the episode, she looks great. She's in a regular old dress with just a stripy pattern on it.
I wasn't a fan.
Yeah. It's a little much to just start your day. Like, just a little much to go to your job at town council.
But all of her dresses are always a little much.
I know.
But this one just, I wasn't feeling it.
It's not great.
Yeah.
So now we go back to the cafe.
Yeah, and this is when we see Artie and Lexi.
Yeah, sitting.
Having brunch or lunch or whatever they're doing. I mean, they have like little, it looks like they have little mimosas, which is why I was thinking.
Well, that's
it's
what Johnny says. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his blood sugar was low.
Right, yeah.
So that's why they had to go in.
Yep.
Also sitting on the same side of the booth. I don't know. That's weird. Have we ever done that? I mean,
no, we don't like
if we have kids that are with us, we might sit on the same side of the booth. But never just the two of us.
No. No,
I just
never done that.
I just found that interesting that that's what's happening here.
Were they in her Ted and Alexis booth, too?
I think they were.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was such a big part of that episode was her moving over next to him. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly,
I think it was the other way around. He moved over next to her.
Oh.
Right?
I can't remember now.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
She was,
no, you're right.
She got up and moved over next to her, I believe. But yeah, it is. I think that's sort of like a callback to that.
Yes.
But yeah, not in a good way.
No, not in a good way at all. Not with this weird old creep who has rings and bracelets and also. I love it later when she says that.
I don't want to say, I don't know, creep. Yeah,
no,
like, you shouldn't be dating somebody,
but
overall he seems like an okay person. Like,
there is nothing about Artie
he's
that
like,
seems
bad. Just trying to be
bad.
Fun and hip, you know, but, like, it certainly is not who you picture her with.
Exactly, yes.
So.
Which is, that's what I find so funny. Like, were Mutt and Ted the only age-appropriate men in this town? And that's it? Now she has to move on to 60... something.
I don't know. I'm sure
Artie?
She was at the Wobbly Elm and, you know, had a couple drinks in her fancy dress. And I don't know. That didn't seem like that was the night she met him. Or maybe it was. I don't know.
No. I don't think they go to a bar and then he's like, let's go to Elmdale for a steak.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, maybe she was out at the Wobbly Elm.
Met him there. Yeah, he came in and you get a few drinks in you. You're like, that scarf vest combo looks pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Okay. Yeah, no, but you're right. No, and I didn't mean to say that he was a creep because he's not. There's nothing about him that should raise red flags or anything like that.
It seems like an unusual relationship for her.
Exactly.
But I don't know. Mm. I'm sure in the past, she dated we heard a little bit about, she mentions about the cast of White Squall and stuff later on.
Oh yeah, I meant to look that up. Do you know what White Squall is?
No, I don't know what that is.
I assume it's a show with a lot of old people in it.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. I actually meant to look that up, but I did not. So she's there with Artie. They're sitting around and Johnny walks in and sort of, has a brief conversation with the two of them and then goes to the counter to talk to Twyla for a little bit.
Yeah. And Twyla kind of, he goes and gets coffee and Twyla kind of comments like, oh, it looks like Alexis is putting herself back out there. And I think that guy dated my aunt.
Yep.
But she was a baby at the time. And she only knows because there's a photo of him holding her. And she remembers, like, at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And she just remembers that year because she got a lighter. Another great Twyla story.
Just a wonderful Twyla story. Yeah. Just one of those things where sometimes people will be like, do you remember when you were a kid? Like, do you remember what you got? Mm-hmm. Like, one Christmas, you must have gotten something great. Her lighter Christmas is the best.
And she's
Christmas.
A baby.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that she still has that lighter.
Yeah, maybe.
So Johnny decides, I guess Lexi gets up to use the bathroom or something like that.
Yeah, she goes to use the restroom or whatever.
He decides to have a talk with Artie, a thing he could not do with Patrick, a thing that he struggled mightily with Patrick. Well, but maybe, they're more age appropriate.
I think Patrick seems more of an appropriate relationship than Artie and Lexi.
Exactly, yes.
So, yeah.
But maybe it's easier for Johnny to talk to a guy who's maybe 10 years younger than him.
Yeah.
I love how Artie... He goes, if you're worried about anything, I live in a 3-bedroom place with an above ground pool.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's retired. He owned several trailer parks.
Yep.
He's a great person.
Yeah.
He has a house. He does a stable life, it sounds like.
Stable life. You know what? Yeah. Being a grandfather is a little bit difficult. Johnny will realize that eventually, I'm sure. But it's really Johnny saying, hey, my daughter's really in a vulnerable stage or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
broken engagement.
Yeah,
recently,
he says,
and
like,
she's been engaged to this guy twice.
Right.
And,
she was engaged to him twice. He ends by saying, tread lightly. Mm-hmm. And to which Artie kind of smiles and he's like, okay, no big deal there. I love how he calls him dad for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he refers to him as her old man, where he's like, that's somehow worse than dad.
Right, yeah.
But that's sort of how this conversation and Artie's bit in this episode ends.
Yeah.
So now let's go to town council. Oh.
Yep, we're at the town hall.
It has been
the complaint department.
A minute. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it appears that Roland and Ronnie have been dealing with this all day.
Mm.
They're
clearly annoyed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And why are they annoyed?
Because Moira had an interview in People magazine where she basically dissed the town by calling it the last place you'd ever want to end up.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob was so upset about it,
he had to go home. Right.
To cry therapy.
Right, yes. I assume by home... the room he's renting at the Shits place.
Yeah, I guess.
I like to think that Jocelyn just needs to get away from Bob during the day.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I mean, the extra money would be great, but I can't.
Again, though, who had that baby? I guess Bob.
Bob?
Yeah.
He just leaves work to watch a baby
or something. Yeah, because he wasn't with Roland and Jocelyn's at the apothecary.
Well, also, who's watching the motel? I love the fact that we've been talking about this for episodes now, and at least Stevie is in the background saying,
Johnny
can
was, like,
I go back
break.
To work?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Johnny got back from the cafe and spelled Stevie to go deal with whatever Moira has to deal with here. Yeah, so she gave a pretty rotten interview with People magazine.
Yep.
And they...
They're trying to launch like a whole tourism campaign.
I love how Roland just says that. And I do have to say, we don't see it a lot because he is a total goof and he's just there so people can laugh at him. Roland really puts his foot down and tells Moira, you have to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And it's not punctuated by some sort of crazy joke or anything. He's really serious about this. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it's a big issue in this town because at least 5 people show to protest.
Oh, right. There's like protesters outside with signs that are like, we don't like you.
The signs are great. I love how Roland says, can you hold the signs up higher? I just can't read them. That would be great. And they do. And Moira tries to reason with them by saying they took this one bit of what I said out of context. Mm-hmm. Here's what I said before. Here's what I said after. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily seem to be working. But Ronnie has an idea of how this can all be resolved.
Right. So we'll find out what that is in a little bit.
Yes. But let's go back to Rose Apothecary, where Jocelyn is murdering it in this store. It.
And David's like, nah, it's just beginner's luck. Yeah.
Here's a line at the register. Last time we saw this was when they opened the store. There was a line at the register. Yeah. But there are multiple people there to buy things. And it's all because of her.
Yeah.
And even, is it David that's like, maybe these are just people she knows? That she, I don't know, hired to come in and pretend to buy stuff?
Well, right, yeah. And then he's like, is this all that we're about? Just selling products? And Patrick's right. Like, well, yeah, kind of.
That's our business.
That's the point of us, right. You know, what we're doing. Yeah. But then Patrick kind of says to him, like, I think we need to offer her a job. And then, you know, he said, and I think it would mean more coming from you.
Yes.
So he puts it on David for him to.
Right before this, I have to say, I love that David talks about maybe it's just beginner's luck. Like if you just wander into a casino and you put a coin in the basic instinct slot machine.
Right.
And my favorite part is when Patrick's like, that seems like that might have been the most important day of your entire life. Like this is just a story David brings up all the time. Uh-huh. I won money with a basic instinct slot machine once. Mm. So Patrick decides that, this is all stuff you said.
Yeah, Patrick decides about offering her the job and
right.
that David needs to be the one to, to put that offer out there on the table.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, Alexis is sad. Lexi. Lexi's sad now.
Yep, she returns. She's mad, upset. Mm-hmm. She returns to the motel. Ooh, like she's doing her, you know,
right.
angry noises. And Johnny comes to see
Johnny's
what's
there
going
for
on.
Her again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how she said that she can't believe a man with 3 medic alert bracelets broke up
Dumped
with her.
Yeah. Yep.
His choice of makeup music is horrible. Who even is Cat Stevens?
Right. Yeah.
To which Johnny starts to defend Cat Stevens. Right. He's like, boy, you know, some good songs there.
Yeah, but Johnny kind of says, like, you know, he's not the right person for you, mm-hmm. and maybe this is for the best. And, you know, Alexis was just like, I'm just looking for any distraction.
Yes.
And then, you know, Johnny's like, well, he seemed really nice. He owned trailer parks and was starting to recap some of the conversation he had with him, to which, of course, Alexis was upset. Because she's like, how did you know that?
Right.
You talked with him and I was in control of the situation.
Yeah.
And
like I told you, this was just
in.
A casual thing.
Right.
There's no reason you need to be involved in this. To where they do have a nice, you know, father-daughter talk where he's like, well, I was never there for you. Or I wasn't there for you as much as I should have been when you were younger. Right.
Yeah.
To which she's probably like, what's a good thing you weren't? This is horrible. This is a disaster.
Yep.
But yeah, she really does break down and cry at the end of this scene.
Yeah, because she's kind of like, well, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. You know, like she doesn't really know what to do next. So she cries on Johnny's shoulder, to which mm-hmm. Johnny then sang, I wonder when David will be home.
It's a great end. Yeah. I said, you know, maybe with Roland, there's no goofy joke. I do like that joke at the end of this. Because mm-hmm. we already had a sad Lexi scene. Uh-huh. You know, at the end of the last episode, mm-hmm. I don't know that we needed it again. Uh-huh. So at least there's this joke to yeah. sort of end that.
Yeah.
So now, let's wrap this all up. Let's go back to Rose Apothecary. Mm-hmm. Jocelyn rings the bell. Remember, there's a bell yep. there. She brought it from home.
Yeah, day's done.
It's her bell. Like, she's closing the stock exchange, yes. which I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And they offer her the job, mm-hmm. or David offers her the job.
Yes.
And she turns him down.
Oh, yeah. It's not for me. It's not in my brand. As right. David would say, it's yes. not in my brand.
It's not fulfilling enough for her.
Right.
She'd rather just tutor.
Yeah, gets like some tutoring gigs.
Which wasn't on the table. It was yeah. either this or bazongas.
Right, yeah.
I didn't think that tutoring was an option for her.
Right.
But she decides to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it when she leaves and she's like, oh, I'll just be back tomorrow for my paycheck.
Right. Yeah.
To which David said, well, this was just the trial thing.
A training, yeah, a training session or something he refers to.
Exactly.
Yep.
So this episode ends with us seeing the thing that Moira agreed to do to get the town off her back.
Yeah, to freshen up her.
Yes.
Her, I had the word in my head and now it's gone.
Image?
Image, yeah.
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 And it's really to narrate? Star in?
Yeah, star in a tourism commercial about the town.
Exactly.
Yeah. The town that I'm at.
We see Bob's garage.
Uh-huh.
She's at the cafe.
Yeah, she orders the miso black cod, which don't have. But of course, I love that she's holding the enormous Rose, what am I saying, Rose Apothecary, Cafe Tropical menu.
Yep.
You know.
To where she says fine dining because the place has been described as fine.
Yeah.
She also, I do it to say, Twyla, great on screen in this mm-hmm. video. Fantastic. Funny yeah. Twyla, of course. When she's in Rose Apothecary and David and Patrick are in the background, mm-hmm. posed in the most awkward, strange, unnatural way, mm-hmm. and are just constantly
Ray probably
like,
directed this video.
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee you, yeah. Ray made this video. Mm-hmm. It does have.
I wish we could have seen him, like yeah. having a little part in it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great background acting by them.
Yeah. Well, she talks about how nice and quiet it is there. Basically, like there's no one there to get in your way when you're trying to shop.
Yep.
I also thought it was a little bit unusual. Patrick was in. Not his signature blue. He was in like green almost, or maybe it was like a tealy blue, but
maybe. But yeah. also this has weird VHS yeah. quality, like a weird filter
yeah,
on it.
It looked almost green.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought was weird.
We do end outside of the motel.
Yes. The partially renovated motel. I don't know what part was renovated.
Johnny starts to talk and Moira makes him stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he says, thank you for having us.
Yep. Stevie looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yep.
If heaven had a creek, it would be this
one. It would be this one. Yep. That's her ending line.
Yeah. And that's it. That's how the episode ends.
Yeah. So the tourism video was fun.
Wow. This is so great.
At the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best Schitt's Creek episode we've ever seen to the least best Schitt's Creek episode we've ever seen.
And this one probably won't be as much deliberating as the last one.
We'll find out, I guess.
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow. Do you have a lot of deliberating to do about this?
I have no deliberating to do.
Okay, I don't think I do.
But
I
was
going to
ask you, if this episode were a part-time gig, would it be working at Rose Apothecary or tutoring?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, or bazongas.
I should have said that.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go in your list.
I think one person maybe that said they leaned towards your rating for last week?
I don't know
how many other people. I don't know that
I would say that it sounds right that one of our listeners would agree with me and the rest would always agree with you.
No, I just said other people didn't comment.
No,
we only had one
I
person, I think, that I remember seeing that kind of commented on... Yeah, they would lean towards where your rating was, but I don't think we had much other.
Like I said, I mean,
conversation about.
I rated differently than you, and then I rated the entire episode, right. And it's tough to, you know. But anyway, I think this one, like you said, not as much deliberation. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we'll put it in the same spot, right. Roughly, but I don't think this is gonna fight to crack either of our top 10. I'm gonna say, no offense, Martin Short's brother.
I'm gonna say
37.
Yeah, it was cute. There were fun moments. Not as much stood out to me though as in some other episodes.
You know,
her dating Artie was super funny, yeah. And the little thing at the end was funny. Jocelyn was great at the apothecary.
Yeah,
but you know that. It was just an average episode for me. Yeah,
I agree. This one, a little bit lower for me. It's 44.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like the thing at the end may have bumped it up a couple spots, but honestly, not a great episode. It's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for following us. Thank you for interacting and all that stuff. And we will talk to you again in 2 weeks' time when we'll be talking about the 10th episode of season 6, Sunrise, Sunset.
And I think we also have to wish all of our listeners a happy holiday season.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
You know, we won't be with them next week when we're really on like the...
Right, yes. They're really
of,
there.
The Christmas holiday. And any of our Jewish listeners, you know, Hanukkah's Monday, I believe, right?
I believe it is Monday. Yeah.
Is it Sunday or Monday?
Yeah.
So, and we don't have a Merry Christmas Johnny Rose, but if you really wanted to hear our take on that episode, you could always go back and either listen for the first time, which I don't know why you would have skipped it, but, or you could just go back and
just
reminisce
go back
again.
And listen to the episode that I think is
the
most
biggest
divisive. I really do think it is. We'll see when we get to the very end, but as of right now, I think that really is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think so too.
And we'll talk a little more about it as we go, but the thing I really appreciate, especially with something like the Johnny Rose episode and stuff like that, these are all half-hour long episodes. Like, and it was something I was thinking about today, like coming up on the finale and stuff like that, that they never did like here's an hour long Schitt's Creek.
I think a lot of people felt like they wanted that for that last episode.
Sure.
You know, they felt like they wanted more and,
listen,
you know, they tied a bow around
more.
That.
It's a great show. You want more, but I love the fact that they never felt like they had to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, we will talk to you all again in 2 weeks' time. Until then, everybody, have a great 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.